Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Do please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, let's look here on the board. If you have your cell phones, you can put them on the silent position. Amen. And here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Being Sifted Like Wheat. Being sifted like wheat. For some of you, this may be like, what are you talking about? I'm not flour. You know, I'm not... You're not making me into almond flour. No, we're going to see that Jesus even told Peter something profound. And so this is why we need to go to the scriptures. Amen? As you can see on that photo right there, all of you can see that. They're throwing wheat up into the air. And what are they separating?
The chaff
and the wheat. Okay, so there's a separation taking place there. Okay, and so that's a type of sifting. We're going to look at some other photos here in a bit. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 22, and we're going to read verses 24 through 34. And here we go. And it reads, "Then they began to argue among themselves," these are the disciples, "about who would be the greatest among them." Typical humans always want to get to the top. Always, some people in the corporate world, they'll step on you to get to the top. Amen? Something about being the top dog is sometimes more important than anything else in life. But look what Jesus did. Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and great men lord it over the people. Yet, they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. And the leader should be like a servant." Uh-oh. Totally opposite in the kingdom principles, huh? Jesus flipped this. Look at verse 27 here. "Who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves?" "The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as the one who serves." This is Jesus saying, I'm serving you. Look at this. "You have stayed with me in my time of trial. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." I need you to turn real quick to your neighbor and tell them, we're going to drink at Jesus' table. And look at this. "And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Wow. So this lets us know that we're not going to be in heaven when we get there on clouds eating bonbons and playing the harp. We're going to be designated and he's going to allocate certain things that we do for him. But look, this is what is so profound, and this is where I got this message. Look at this in verse 31. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat." Did you catch that? The devil asked God to sift those apostles, those disciples, like wheat. You got to ask yourself, has Satan asked God to sift you like we? Because we're his disciples, aren't we? And so look at this. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned what? To me again, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus already saw that Peter was going to forsake him. This is prophetic here. He was going to deny him what? How many times? Oh, yes. And look at this. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. You know, a lot of us say, well, I'll do anything for God until the rubber meets the road. Did you know the saints in the tribulation, in order to get to the kingdom of heaven, they have to have their heads in a guillotine and chopped off? Right now, we are in the window of grace. Right now, we can repent, turn from our evil ways, and ask God to forgive us, and he forgives us, and now we're heaven bound. But during the tribulation, when the church is removed, those people down there, in order to receive Christ, they have to be beheaded. It's throughout the book of Revelation. But look at this. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison for you and even die for you. But look what Jesus says. Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Okay. Here's a Hebraic tidbit. Okay, see where it says, because we're reading this in an English translation. It says, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. Now, we've been to Israel many times. You don't see any chickens. You don't see any roosters on the Temple Mount because it's considered an unclean bird. Okay, so in the Hebraic root, guess who's the rooster? It's the town crier. You know, the one that comes to the town, hear ye, hear ye. And he gives an announcement. Okay? That's what a rooster does. But we read it in an English connotation. But in the Hebraic root, it's someone that goes before the sun comes up and does this three times to announce the day coming, that the sun is rising and prepare this day. He's called the town crier, but he's also the rooster. So it's not literally a bird, okay? So that's something that you can put in your theological bag there. Okay, so question. Why does God allow us to be sifted or tested through hardship and challenges in life? Why? You ever ask yourself that? You ever ask yourself, man, Lord, why am I going through this right now? Lord, what did I do? Or what did I not do and yet still receiving this, God? What's happening here? Well, number one, look at this. I need you to see this. Number one up here. He has a purpose behind every heartache. Did you know whatever heartache you're going through, there's purpose behind it? There's something to learn from it. There's something to say, okay, God, I need you to teach me. Teach me. Help me. And God will be there to help you. Can I get amen? Because God is a God of mercy, comfort, and grace. Look at number two. God desires for us to become available vessels through which he can do his work. Did you know you are so valuable to God? Did you know that you are important to him? Did you know that you are a workman that he is developing right now? Where does it say that? I'll show you in a few minutes. But you are valuable to God. Never think that your life is insignificant. That's a lie from the devil. Look at my third point up here. Number three, God's purpose for each person who is saved is to serve Him. To serve Him. And you know how we serve Him? We witness, we testify, we serve one another, we go pray for one another, we give to the poor, whatever the case may be. Loving one another, loving your spouse unconditionally. Oh, that's a tough one there. It is. We're supposed to love our spouses unconditionally. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
And so, God wants to use you because why? Because you are a workman in progress. Here's the scripture right here. Look at this. In Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's nothing to brag about. For we are His what? Workmanship. There it is. It's in scripture. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works. He created us so that He can use us to do good works. Look at this. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's no excuse from not serving the Lord. Not sharing your testimony. Not sharing your faith. There's no excuse for that. Because every time you share Christ with anyone, you're serving the Lord. You know why? Because you're letting people know who God is. Praise God. So look at this. Why does God want us to serve Him? Why? Saints, He uses us to carry out the work on this earth. We are His spokesmen on this earth. For example, Christ commanded us to share the gospel. How many believe that He has commissioned you? Raise your hand if you know that you've been commissioned by God. The day you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, you got baptized, you got filled with the Spirit of God, He commissioned you. Now you're on your way. To do what? To do what the Bible says. So let's look at a biblical perspective here on the commission. Okay? It's not a commission that you sold something and you get something in return. No. A commission is something that now God has sent forward for you to carry out His will. Turn with me to Mark 16. Look at this. Mark 16, starting with verse 14. It says, later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. This is after the resurrection. And He rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. Who was one of the first ones to doubt that He rose from the dead? Thomas. Oh, doubting Thomas, right? But there were more like him. And so he had to rebuke their unbelief. There are times, saints of God, when the Word of God is written and we still don't believe what's written. This is where you have to allow the Holy Spirit to rebuke you. Because what it says goes. We cannot contort and conform the Word of God to our likeness. We got to be conformed to Him. Can I get an amen? So look at this. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Wow. Wow, that's a serious indictment right there, isn't it? Look what it says in verse 17. And these signs shall follow those who believe. The ones that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They take up any serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What? Oh, come on. That's power from the power of the Holy Spirit. But He's commissioned to every one of us with the same power. Listen, I need you to catch this. In the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. Pastor Fee is no bigger than you as a congregant. And as a congregant, You're no bigger than me. We're all equal at the cross. We're equal at the cross. We just have different positions that he has placed us to carry out his will. And so, saints, many of God's most effective servants never receive honor from others. But God will reward them in heaven. How many believe that God will reward you in heaven? He uses it to help us grow in our faith when we're used by him. Amen? Look at this right up here. Look into God's word on how we are rewarded. How many love rewards? Every one of us do. Sister was praying for me this morning. Sister Adesele, she was the first to arrive. She said, I'm praying that another white envelope shows up. Amen. Amen. We could use, listen, right now, it's hard times right now, everywhere. And pray that these rates go down, especially the mortgage rate, so I can get back to work. My loan officer, dear to me, Shauna Vasquez, known her for 37 years. She had to drive now the MTS bus. She left the industry because no real estate agents were calling no more for loans. She would have a steady 70 in her pipeline. Loan officers call them a pipeline. So she would have a constant 70 that would call her periodically and bring her business to get a loan for her, for the agent's buyers. That all dried up a year and a half ago. No one is going to go and buy a home when some of them were locked in at 3% and going to 6.7. So until the rates go down, this industry that I'm in, we're at the mercy of these rains. But you know what? God said he will still supply all of our needs according to our riches and glory. Can I get amen? Yeah. Sister Yolanda said, you know what? God still supplies our needs somehow. There's still food in the icebox. There's still shelter over us. We still got gas in our car. God will continue to bless you despite of what the economy is right now, because we belong to him now. Can I get an amen? Come on, give him a shout of praise. We belong to him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And so looking into God's word on how we are rewarded. Look at this in Luke. I found this in Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Uh-oh. But look what God says. God says, get in their grill and knock them out. No, he don't say that. Look at verse 23. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in it, like manner, their fathers did to the prophets. Listen, people will get you upset, and they will bring you to the point of, man, if only you knew that I could do some damage. When you had that thought, you missed it. This is the time to do what God said. Rejoice. Pray for them. Here's how you combat that. After they bleep at you, just, can I pray for you? Can I ask God to bless your day? They'll have a paradigm change. Look what else I found in a few verses up in verse 35. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. You ever ask them, man, I'm hurt, man. I need 10 bucks, man. That'll get me through the day, man. You got 10 bucks, man. You know what? If you have it, give it away and don't expect it back. Well, you know what? When can you pay me back, man? If you have it, just let it go. Let it go. Look at this. Look what God says here. But love your enemies, be good, and lend hope and for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. What? For he is kind to the unfaithful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. There's going to be people in your life, whether they're blood, whether they're not friends, at work, co-workers, they're going to be acquaintances, extended family. Some of them are going to get you to the last nerve. So just remember this. God said, be merciful. Love them in return. And when you walk away knowing that, you know what? I just prayed for them and Lord, help them. Something good will happen that day for you. You watch. Because he returns goodness for goodness. But God also returns evil for evil. Well, yes, he does. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church. And whatever you do, do it heartily. As who? To the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of what? The inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there's no what? Partiality. There's none. Look at that. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no part. So in other words, what I just read, there's reward for doing good, but then there's, you'll get repaid for doing wrong. Look what Daniel said. Even Daniel, the great Daniel who went into the lion's den. Remember him? Look what he says in Daniel 12:3. Those who are wise, say that with me. Those who are wise. One more time. Those who are wise, look at this, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. If you can lead someone that's been nasty to you, I'm talking attitude, foul mouth back at you, you know, take advantage of you, all kinds of evil at you, and you return with kindness, and you lead them to God and say, you know what? We need to just come to church and let's seek God. I'll seek God with you. I'll help seek God with you. You know, God can solve this anger issue in your heart, in your life. Look what God says right there in Daniel. And those who turn many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever. This is the key element right here. Because you could bash them back in the face. You could slander right back. And what does that give you? That just brings you to World War III. But if you're going to win them, use God's wisdom. Can I get an amen? Use God's wisdom. Look what Proverbs says right up here. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. You want to win that soul, not lose them. Listen, ask yourself this. The time that when you know that God's going to take you home, one of the worst things to know as your life is expiring, that there's people that hate you and you never reconciled with them. You don't want to take that into eternity. You want to know that, you know what? We may not agreed on things. We may not saw things, you know, but you know what? I still love that person that's dying. You want them to say that. I still love them. But for you that's dying, you don't want any of that on your conscience before you check out. Because you know what? It'll be torment. It'll be torment. You see, my friends, when you serve the Lord, you will learn things in the Word of God. And You would never learn them any other way but through God's word. He uses it to bring himself glory and honor. You know that God wants all the glory and he wants all the honor. Amen. Now, if we serve him in order to get glory or acclaim, approval or acceptance, guess what? You've already received your reward. You shouldn't be looking at it, oh, I did this, God, for you. Now I expect this now. Just serve him. Just serve him. Know that you served him with your whole heart. Let him be the blesser now. Can I get an amen? You know how it is in relational life. Well, I did this for you. Can't you do that for me? So in other words, I did that so you could do this back. Let's make a deal. That's holding something. You're holding that person hostage now to do something back in return for you. But if they do it out of the kindness of their heart, that's a whole different story. And so look at this right up here. God uses our failure to draw us closer to him. So are we going to fail God at times? Yes. We're not immune to failure. But when we do fail, he's drawn us closer to him so he can teach us his ways. You see, my friends, don't wait until you can serve him when you're perfect. Because you'll never be perfect. Can I get amen? And don't let fears of failure keep you from obeying him. Listen, when you fail God, repent, get up, and go. Wash it, go. Keep walking with God. Don't look back at that failure, because then you're always going to dwell on that past when God said, don't even look at that. That's gone. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not even here. Just deal with the moment right now. Why? Because look at this. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. I want you to catch this right up here on the screen. I want you to catch this and let this soak in right here. No matter how you sinned, God can use you again if you repent. Did you catch that? I don't care what you've done. Did you know some hardened murder, just evil people that like are incarcerated in prison and they repent and receive Christ? Did you know that God uses them in there? Huh? Did you know that some of those hardened criminals who gave their life to Christ is now being used by God to win all those other quote-unquote thugs? No matter what you've done, God wants to redeem your life because he knows we're sinful. He knows where we come from. We come from Adam. And God hasn't changed the world yet. He hasn't given us the new body yet. So God won't stop using you just because you made a mistake. I hope you know that. He won't. But Satan will try to blackmail you and condemn you and to try to throw you off track. You know why? Because he's a thief and a liar. Satan is the one that will bring you condemnation. You know what I love about God? He'll convict us to get right, and then he washes us, and then he says, keep following me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Satan will come, and man, he will condemn you and go, look, you no good for nothing no more. God won't use you. Don't believe that lie. That's a lie from the pit. I got scripture to back that up. Right up here, look at this. In John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said it best. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. Jesus went on to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for who? And who are the us? Turn to your neighbor and say, we are. We're the sheep, amen. Look what it says in a prior chapter in the book of John. He told the Pharisees straight out. Because who were the Pharisees? The religious people. There are religious folks in our life. So religious. And they have really not a relationship with God. But look what he said to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, in John 8:44. Look at this. You are of your father the devil. What? And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Look at this. When he speaks, he's talking about Satan. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of them. Don't listen to that lying spirit. A lying spirit will always try to get a hold of your heart, and you'll start believing that lie. You got to turn to the scripture and says, greater is he that is in me that's in the world. You got to learn how to rebuke the devil, because the devil is a liar, like we just read right here. How many have been buffeted by the devil? Oh, come on. He'll try to make you do this. He'll try to bring something to fascinate you. He'll try to do all kinds of things to take you off your game. He wants to take you off the call. Once he gets you off the call, then God has to deal with you to chastise you. And you know why God still chastises us? Because we listen to the lie. And we didn't listen to him. So consider Peter. We just read, he denied, what, Jesus, how many times? Look at this right up here. Know that Satan can't touch a child of God without his permission. You know, like, old Slewfoot? He's got to go to God first before he can buffet you. And you know what God, will do? Okay, go ahead. They're mine. Don't you take their life, though. You can't take their life. My. So know that Satan can't touch a child of God without his permission. Look at this. Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you. What? Who's pleading in prayer for us? Jesus. Do you know that Jesus prays for us every day? But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented, see, there's a key. Now repent now. And turn to me again, and then go strengthen your brothers. Wow. See, that's the key. When you fumble the ball, when you miss the mark, when you sin, whether it's intentional sin or you sin by accident. Intentional sin is, I'm going to look at that regardless. I'm going to hear that music regardless. I'm going to do things regardless. That is the sin of omission. Then there's sin of commission. Sin meaning, man, sorry God, forgive me. I didn't know this was sinful. Either or, you turn around and repent. Say, God, forgive me. Give it to God. So look what he says. So when you have repented, Peter, and turned to me, did he say turn to me one time only? He said turn to me again. Then go and strengthen your brothers. Wow. You see, when you know how God operates in your life, you won't live a life of condemnation. You'll live a life of liberty, knowing that, hey, you know what? God has my back. God is leading me. God is guiding me. And if I stray, he's going to put me back in order. He's got me. He doesn't want me to fail. He's for you, not against you. How many believe that? I got an amen from little Elliot back there. Come on. Saints, God allows Satan to sift you and I. Why? Because we're spiritual realities that can learn only through difficulty and hardship. And so he allows it. He allows it. And how do I know that he has to go and get permission from God? It's found right here in the book of Job. Not Job. Some of us do need a job. But it's the book of Job. Look at this. Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, the sons of God were angels and cherubims, but Satan was one of the cherubims before he was cast out. But look at this. And Satan also came among them. So guess what? Satan still has access to heaven. Look at this. And the Lord said to Satan, now they're having a conversation. This is God speaking to old Slewfoot. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? Like God didn't know. So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. This is what he does. He's a, what do we call Chikuru sometimes? Fees gone. Yeah, he always wants to get in people's business. That's what Satan does. He wants to get in your business. Look at this. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man. I'm going to pause right there. Did you know? I want you to point to your neighbor right now. Turn to someone right now and say, you are blameless. And why are we blameless now? Even with all your faults and failures, even with your ungodly thoughts, God still sees you as blameless. You know why? Because of the blood. The blood has washed the original sin of Adam. So guess what? Now we can stand before a holy God. Not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ has been imputed upon us. Now we are covered through the righteousness of Christ. Now we can stand, hallelujah, blameless. And so look at this. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and thus evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Look at this. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. And so, old Slewfoot is trying to throw jabs at God, saying, this is why he's blessed, because of you. Look at this. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. See, Satan's now trying to tell God, yeah, just, you know what? Remove the blessing. Watch him curse you. Look at this. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person, meaning do not kill him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So, you know the story. And we're going to look at some things that took place with Job. And guess what? Those things have happened to some of us. Can I get an amen? Because, what was the name of this morning's message? Sifted like wheat, right? Being sifted like wheat. Okay, so I want you to catch this right up here. Sifting is defined, it's called the process of removing the inedible parts of the wheat from the part used to make flour. When the mixture was thrown into the air, the wheat would fall to the ground and the chaff would what? Fly away. So, what are some of the words that describe the sifting process? I want you to look at this right here. You see that? What is falling to the ground? And what is remaining in that basket?
The chaff.
The chaff. It's being sifted. Well, Peter, Job, was going through this sifting process right now. And guess what? Sometimes it does not feel good. Can I get amen?
Amen.
When God has chosen to allow you to be sifted by Slewfoot, you're going to think that God has left you. You're going to think that God is mad at you. No, God will allow it for purpose in your life to go from point A to point B. In other words, He wants to see you grow in your faith. He wants to see you get to where you need to be so that people can be drawn to you through the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. All that stuff that's flying to the ground, you can see it, is bitterness, is hatred, is anger, it's revenge, it's malice. All that you see falling to the ground, the chaff, God will allow you to be sifted to get that junk out of you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So He has to do this. Right up here, look at this. Shake. He shakes us. Sometimes God has to shake us to get our attention if we try to excuse ourselves from being used by Him. Man, He's got to shake us. Oh, come on. I've been shooken by God many times. Sometimes we go, oh man, I'm hurt again, or I feel bad again, or whatever the case may be. Did you know that sometimes that God is calling a timeout with your life? I need to hear from you. Look what Hebrews 12 says. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven? Listen, when God speaks, you better listen. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Look at verse 26 right here. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, as if things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. Woo! Look at verse 28 here. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. See, once we get that king, we're in the kingdom up there. It cannot be shaken no more. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. So we looked at being, He speaks, and then He what? He shakes, right? And sometimes He'll even shock us. God is willing to let something into your life that will shock you into realizing that He has a call on your life. So what comes? Who comes to the mind right now that totally got shocked? It blew him away. It freaked him out. Saul of Tarsus. He had an edict from the rabbis to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. So he was the original drive-by. They would go in there and just do house invasions, drag Christians out, cut them up, put them on the cross and burn it on fire, throw them in the gladiator ring in Rome. They would do hideous things to believers. And he was on his way to Damascus, and God had to shock him. Spoke from heaven. Blinded his eyes. Fell off his horse. Blind for 3 days. I think you would be shocked too if you couldn't see no more. Close your eyes like this. Just close your eyes. And you were like that for 3 days. You couldn't see nothing else. You had to be helped to walk around. Wow, that would be shocking, wouldn't it? I'd be shocked. And so sometimes God is willing to let something into your life that will shock you into realizing that He has a call on your life. Look what I found in John. Romans 8:28. Look at this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who what? To those who what? Are called. I want you to read that. I want you to catch this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He may be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you know God already purposed in His heart to save you? To predestine you? Would you have a clue when you were in your 20s that you would be sitting in a church in a Bible study or receiving a sermon? No. We were out there doing our wild thing. And so we looked at the sifting process. Shaking, shocking, and then sometimes He's silent. Sometimes God works deep within us and no growth is obvious on the surface. Almost a type of a silent restlessness until we discover how to abide in Christ. Uh-oh. How many of you realize that we need to abide in Christ? How many? Look at this. In John 15:4. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it what? Abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in Me. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. Without God we are nothing. How many believe that? How many believe that we need Him 24/7? We need Jesus every moment of our life. And so He speaks. He shocks us. What else He does? Shakes us. And look at this one. He searches us. God searches our hearts and minds to reveal sinful patterns that aren't part of who we are as His children. This is what I love about God. There's some things that, you know what? Oh God, here I am and I'm here. I want blessings and, you know, I worship You and everything. And then His Spirit looks deep in your heart. And then He sees that one door that you have closed. And then He says, open that door so I could go in and clean the rest of it out. He searches our heart. Why? Because if we allow any hindering thing there, He will deny His presence on your life. How many want to feel His presence all the time? Okay, well, get, you heard me say this, get the junk out of the trunk. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. Look at this. And 1 Corinthians right up here. Oh no, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, see, He searches the heart, right? So in Jeremiah 17:9, look what God says He does. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Listen, only God can claim that our hearts are desperately wicked. People that don't know God, they're not born again. You share them this verse, they'll curse God. What do you mean? You read that book, man. I'm a good person. You ever hear people? I'm a good person. No, Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Wow. Man, as I'm sharing this right now, I'm feeling the presence of God on me right now. I feel God is doing something right now in our heart. Look at this. First, he does this now. He does separating. He separates. See, all that sifting, it's a shock. There's a silence sometimes. What else? There's a shaking. As he's speaking, he's searching our heart. Then he's separating. Look at this. God separates us from sin. His call can also mean that we have to leave friends and family that will corrupt you. Listen, there's people in your life that you got to like just cut them off now. Say, you know what? I can't be around you no more. They got foul mouth. You ever been around someone that bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes right out? It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Look at this. I got scripture to back this up. This is not Pastor Fee saying, you know what, you can't hang with this one or that one. No. I'm going to line myself up to the Word of God. It says right up here in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Wow. There's some folks, man, you know what? Unfortunately, they got worse mouths than a drunken sailor. They have no conviction. They have no consciousness. It's fermented in their mouth and in their tongue, and it just comes out like venom. Wow. And then, during the sifting process, as he's separating the wheat from the chaff, then he does this. He sterilizes. And so when the wheat has been separated from the chaff, then there's a cleansing of the wheat. And look at this. He sterilizes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive them. Wow. Are you catching the parallel to this?
Yes.
And God has it in his word right up here. In 1 John, look at this. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from some.
Nope.
Oh, maybe I'll forgive this, but I won't forgive that. No, it says from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Uh-oh. That's where we have to go, uh-oh. Am I coming clean, God? Help me come clean with you, God. And so, saints, this is a process. How many is getting something out of this message this morning? Because the enemy, he wants to take you out of camp. He wants to render you useless for the kingdom of God. So although Peter, he denied Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ forgave him. And guess what he did? After he denied him three times, what did God do with Peter? He made him the leader of the first church. He said, here's the keys to the kingdom. He goes, feed my sheep. Ask yourself what he's done for you since you've been saved. He has saved you, sanctified you, water baptized you in his precious name, washed in the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what he's done for us. We're heaven bound. How many believe we're heaven bound now? Oh, come on. And so here's the great news, saints, that if you and I fail, God is available to clean up our life and make you a blessing to many people. How many believe that you are a blessing to people? Oh, yes. I see in this place in here, many of you are a blessing to others. Praise God. And so here's the bottom line. The choice is yours. We could either surrender and give all to God and to discover His wonderful plan for us that He has for you, or live a life of rebellion. Live a life like, well, you know, I'll be good today, but tomorrow I want to have my way, like a Burger King life. I'd rather choose the first part. I'd rather say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. So in closing, saints, right up here, look at this. God does allow Satan to sift us. What's your plan of action? At that time, when you feel that God has allowed this to happen, it's real simple. Humble yourself at the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Cry out to God. Confess your sins. Say, God, if I've sinned, here they are. If you're teaching me something, here I am. Oh, God, and if it's not old Slewfoot, I still praise you and glorify you as I go through this ailment, whatever it may be, this affliction, this trial, this financial burden, this relational issue, whatever the case may be. Some of your children can get on your last nerve. Before you take out the bat and try to beat them on the head, win them to God. Win them to God. And then right up here, look at this. Lord, are you using this in my life to get me ready to be used by you? And the answer would be yes. The key is to commit yourself to Him and be available to the Lord. And do you know that He will bless you? Did you know that He will comfort you? Do you know that He will do great and mighty things for you? You see, how many believe that He's coming soon?
Amen.
How many believe that? You know, there's a lot of churches that don't talk about the rapture no more, but you know that it's soon?
Yeah.
Soon and very soon. Look at this right up here. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. Look what he says. He says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrows others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus, meaning those who have died in the flesh. We just lost our dear brother, Brother Geronimo. But his soul and spirit is with God.
That's right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself, say that with me, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead will rise, and Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to be with who? To meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No! It says comfort. Comfort one another with these words. And so, when he wrote to the Thessalonian church, Paul also wrote to the Corinthian church and took it a little step further, because we're not going to heaven in these bodies. How high can Michael Jordan leap? Maybe what? Off the ground? About 45 inches? Ooh, or more. I mean, they could get up in the air to dunk, huh? You give them if they got a lane in the, you know, in the center, they can get way up there and then be just flying in the air. Well, guess what? For you and I, we could barely get a few inches off the ground. I know I can't get more. but just boom, that's it. Because we're confined to what? The law of gravity. But look what he wrote. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Meaning, this body of flesh cannot go into heaven. Why? Because it's still, we live in a sinful body. The soul and spirit has been washed. It's clean before God. But our flesh is still flesh. Thank God for showers. Look at this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what?
Changed.
Man, how many can't wait for that day of change to come? Woo! Man, look at this. For this corruptible, point to your flesh, because it's corrupt, must put on incorruption, meaning we must put on a new body that's not corrupt. And this mortal, us, that's temporary on earth, must put on immortality. Immortality means to live forever on in heaven. Look at this. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Hallelujah.
So my friends, I'm here to let you know, the rapture is close.
Yes, it is.
And don't get caught off guard. Take a look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come.
Played that in a while, huh? My goodness. But it's going to be that fast when he comes. And you know, I truly believe the tribulation will begin. Because we will be gone. You know, the Bible talks about when he shall be taken from the world and then the tribulation. God showed me it's the church. Because we're the born-again believers filled with the Holy Ghost. We, the church around the world, is bringing conviction to an ungodly world. So that's why Jesus says, you are the light of the world, right? If you are the light of the world and you are salt of the earth, then we are God's representatives here. But if we're taken away, there's no more light. There's no more salt. And so darkness will be around the earth. And many will go into chaos. Did you know the loved ones that love you, that are not born again, you got family members that don't know God. You love them. You fellowship with them. But they're not born again. You know that. They have no desire for the Word of God. They have no desire for church or Bible studies. No women's study, no men's studies. They don't come out for a Wednesday evening. They don't go to a healing room. They don't go. They have no desire for anything. They're going to go crazy when we're gone. They're going to go mad. They're going to remember what you told them. And they're going to freak out. The world's going to freak out. And that's when all H-E-L-L is going to break out. It's going to be ugly. But for those of you who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, here's the key. The scriptures are right there. This first sermon given by Peter the Apostle. Remember, he's the one we read about. He denied Christ, well, how many times? Three times. And when he got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, that was the fourth feast. There are seven feasts of the Lord. There's the feast of Passover. We're going to be celebrating that next month sometime. Passover. Then unleavened bread. Then first fruits. Then 50 days later, the feast of Pentecost. And that's when the Holy Ghost was poured out. They all got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. God has fulfilled the first four feasts. The last three, we just seen what? The rapture of the church is going to happen on the Feast of Trumpets. We don't know what year, but it's going to happen in one of those years. It's going to take the church home. But this is when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And so, my friends, I'm here to let you know that God has a plan for you. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity to receive Him. Because how many believe that He's worthy? Worthy to be praised. We serve a mighty God, a holy God, a wonderful God, a gracious God, a loving God. And He wants to save you. He wants to save you, my friends. And so, I'm going to ask Amazing Grace family to bow their heads with me and to pray this prayer by faith, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we have. And that God can translate you from darkness into His marvelous light. You need to be transformed and transitioned into a godly child of God. So if that's you, pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is He worthy? Come on, yell it out. He's worthy. Yes, He's worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.